time. It's so vast you cannot see it. It's so fleeting. It is gone before you know it. So many things can be said about time, but we want to focus upon time this morning, and we want to begin by turning to a text. The Bible has much to say about times, and one particular place is Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 15. This has been chosen as our text this morning. It is one that we will use to begin our discussion. We read there as the Apostle Paul directs the minds of the Ephesian brethren as the Spirit gave him the words to write. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Time is important. We place a great deal of importance upon time. And nobody's going to debate this fact. Every one of us, at some point or another, claim not to have enough of it. We want more of it. Yesterday, we had the annual, I guess semi-annual. The annual tradition that has been adopted in this nation of setting the clocks either forward or back. It is said that we are entering daylight saving time, or maybe daylight wasting time. I'm not sure which one it is. But fall back gives us an additional hour, right? Wrong. Only maybe an hour of daylight, and I found out this morning where it is. It's on the front part of the day. Because when I woke up, when it's usually, or the previous day had been dark, or somewhat dark, it was already bright light. There's still only 24 hours in the day. Same thing in the spring when we lose an hour? No. There's still only 24 hours in a day. But time presents us with opportunity. In fact, Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verses 10 through 12, we see that we are to use our time while we have it, as time with us will not last forever. Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. For there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave, whither thou goest. I returned and saw under the sun that the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, nor yet bread to the wise, nor yet riches to men of understanding, nor yet favor to men of skill. But time and chance happeneth to them all. For man also knoweth not his time. As fishes that are taken in an evil net, and as the birds that are caught in the snare, so are the sons of men snared in an evil time, when it falleth suddenly upon them. You know, when time ends for us, we may say a lot about it. We may speculate a lot about it. But there are some things that are absolutely certain. There are no additional opportunities from that point forward. There's no chance to change, no way to undo some things that were wrong, no way to improve or become better, because time for us ceases. I don't think that we realize and understand that time is something that God gave us to use while we're here. Because when we cease to exist in this body, time has no reference. We need to be aware of the power and the weakness of time, how time is to be used while we have time in these bodies. Let's take a look for a minute about time's power. If you turn with me to Matthew chapter 7 and verse 16, we see a passage that is oftentimes brought up when people want to justify their judging of someone. And of course, this is the only way that we can judge one is by their fruits. But it takes time to know what a person can or will produce. You cannot look at a person when you first meet them, or when a person first enters into the work world, and see where that person is going to go, how well they're going to do. It takes time to know what they will or will not produce. And of course, the fruits that they put forth will prove what they are. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? And it also takes time to get to the harvest. And we understand that when it comes to horticulture. But oftentimes we look out on people and say, no, they've just given up. They've quit. We don't know. Hopefully they'll come back. In Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 12, we see that it is taught that time has power, because in time, Christians are to grow. Christians are to grow to the point that they can teach others. How many of us, if asked, would be able to respond positively and honestly that we could sit down and we could bring someone to an understanding of what they needed to do in order to become a child of God, provide for them the appropriate verses, go with them in the Bible, let them read it for themselves. We are to grow so that we can teach others. This was pointed out to the Hebrews, those who were supposed to have been learning, those who were supposed to have been able to know the difference between the old law and the new law, and why not to go back under that old law. And it reads, for the time when ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and have become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. Oftentimes people look at that and they say, well, you need to learn the first principles. That's not what it's talking about. They needed to learn. They needed to be able to teach others that the plan of God came through the Old Testament to the point of the New Testament and teach others how to become part of that New Testament so they would not go back under that old law. Time also has the power to help us forget. You know, I've talked to a number of people who have lost loved ones, and we all have. And sometimes people ask the question, will it ever get easier? I don't know if it ever gets easier. But I think with time we learn how to maybe deal with losses and such. I know people that have lost someone 40 plus years ago. And they still miss that person very much. They still love that person. But time has given them the power to deal with it. Now, when time passes, sometimes things change. Sometimes we're able to deal with things. In Genesis chapter 41 and verse 51, we look at the life of a person who had a great deal of toil in his life, a great deal of trouble, a great deal of mistreatment at the hands of his own brethren. And yet there were still good times. And Joseph called the name of his firstborn Manasseh. For God, said he, hath made me forget all my toil and all my father's house. We oftentimes look at this story of Joseph and think, you know, how bad it was for Israel or Jacob in that his son had been died, or so it was told. And as far as he was concerned, his son was gone. Think about Joseph. His family was gone. And as far as he knew, he would never see them again. But time helped him to learn to deal with it. Time also gives us the opportunity to do things that God would have us do. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 1 and 2, we see that time gives us the opportunity to obey the gospel. Oftentimes I'm hearing from people, and more so lately, that God has a plan for me. Well, the truth of the matter is that God has the exact same plan for every person. He has the exact same promises for every person. He has the exact same conditions associated with those promises for every person. He has the exact same opportunity. But whether or not that person will take advantage of those opportunities is up to them. The Corinthian brethren were told, we then, as workers together with him, beseech you also, that you receive not the grace of God in vain. For he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation I have succored thee. Now notice what he tells them. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Remember Felix? The Apostle Paul had to defend himself, and in so doing was able to preach the gospel to that person in authority in the Roman government. And Felix said, go thy way when I have convenient season. We have no record if Felix ever obeyed the gospel, because time ran out. And time has no power once it runs out. No opportunities. It also gives us the chance to see what weaknesses exist within us. Every one of us have weaknesses. We don't like to show them. We don't like to think about them. Somebody came in and mentioned about the fact that we can't do what we used to do, and I mentioned that this morning. And that's absolutely true. We can't always do what we once could do. But that's not the kind of weaknesses. I'm not talking about the frailty of the flesh. I'm talking about the things that are within us that need to be repaired before our flesh fails us, ultimately, before we die. Again, once we die, there's no chance. But time gives us the chance to see this weakness. Mark needed to be aware of his shortcomings in Acts chapter 15, verses 37 through 39. The same goes for us. And he needed to see his shortcomings, to be aware of his shortcomings that caused the work of the Lord to suffer so he could work on them. God is not going to have a neon sign in front of you for every opportunity that you should take or every decision you should make. He's given us his word. He's given us the information. And sometimes it takes time for us to come to the realization of what we ought to be doing. In this particular situation, Barnabas determined to take with him John. Barnabas and Paul had discussed about going again and seeing those people that they had once preached the gospel to. And we see that this person whose surname was Mark. And then in verse 38, we see that, but Paul thought not good to take him with him, who departed from them from Pamphylia and went not with them to the work. I often wondered what it was about Mark that caused him to go back the first time. And I'm not sure of the scripture that I called out, but it's Acts chapter 15, verses 37 through 39. It could have been immaturity, but it caused contention. It caused problems. In verse 39, the contention was so sharp between them that they departed asunder one from the other. And so Barnabas took Mark and sailed into Cyprus. And so what happened? Some people say, well, the work was thwarted. No, it wasn't. Now we have two teams going about preaching and teaching the gospel. But time gave Mark perhaps the opportunity, the chance to see the weakness that existed within him. But time also gives us a chance to grow. Time gives us the opportunity to become what we should become, to become what God wants us to be, to become the kind of laborers that he would have in the vineyard. And we see in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 11 that ultimately Mark was recognized as one who had grown, one who was now profitable for the work of the Lord, because Mark had used his time properly. And he became beneficial to the work in which Paul was involved sometime later. In 2 Timothy, Paul, under direction of the Spirit, writes to Timothy and says in chapter 4, verse 11, only Luke is with me. Take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry. You know, the same is true for us. Time gives us an opportunity. If Linda and I would have come here, let's say, 20 years earlier, how would it have turned out? We got no way of knowing. I can tell you from a personal standpoint that I would not have been as knowledgeable. I must sadly admit, I probably wasn't as dedicated. But what happened in the intervening years? Time allowed me to become more equipped, allowed us to become more knowledgeable of the Word of God, able to serve the Lord in this capacity. Time has allowed me, I hope, to become a better preacher, a better teacher. I know for a fact that 12 years ago, if I were to have to lead the songs here, well, we'd all been in trouble. Well, at least, I hope time has allowed me to become better. But time has power. But in James chapter 4, verses 13 and 14, we see that time loses its power. We ask ourselves, what happens to all those opportunities, all those chances when time runs out? I'm going to do it tomorrow. I'm going to do it later. I'll get around to it. We all say it. James chapter 4. Go to now, ye that say today or tomorrow we'll go to such a city and continue there in a year and buy and sell and get gain. We all have aspirations. We all have intent. But what if time runs out? Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanisheth away. And so we pointed out some of the power that time has. Let's look at some of time's weakness. You know, time is very powerful in a number of different ways, but it's weak in other ways, and time has no effect on God. We oftentimes think about the plan that God has laid out before us, the preparation that was taken, the years that it came for it to come to fruition. And I'm afraid sometimes we think that God is bound by time. God's not bound by time. Jesus Christ alluded to that, being God, albeit Christ, the Son of God in the flesh, when he was here on earth, and he said, before Abraham was, this particular passage in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 8 also tells us that time is weak when it comes to God. Those brethren needed to be aware of the fact that God gave us time for us to use, but it does not limit God or bind God in any way. But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is a day. When you read that, you think, well, exactly what does that mean? There's no difference to God whether it be a day, 24 hours, which is to us a span of time, or 1,000 years. God's not bound by time. But time is limited for us. Keep going back to that particular thought. One place where we can see this is Psalms chapter 39, verses 4 through 6. The reason that I want to make sure that I drill this into everyone today, including myself, is that time is very limited for us. And we think, oh yeah, you know, I'm just X number of years old. I've got all this life ahead of me. We have no idea. We don't know how frail we are. I was looking at obituaries. For some strange reason, I do that about every couple of weeks. And I will look at obituaries from the community in which I live, this community, sometimes, occasionally, the one where I grew up. I said that one time, and Brandon says, what are you doing, looking to make sure your name's not in there? I said, no, not really. But it kind of helps me to see, keeps me pointed toward the fact that life is very brief. This morning, there were 4 people listed in the Statesville obituaries younger than I. 4 people in the course of 3 days. It's very sobering. Time is very limited for us. In Psalms 39, verses 4 through 6, Lord, make me to know mine end and the measure of my days, what it is, that I may know how frail I am. Behold, thou hast made my days as an handbreadth, and mine age is nothing before thee. Verily every man in his best state is altogether vanity. Surely every man walketh in a vain show. Surely they are disquieted in vain. He heapeth up riches and knoweth not who shall gather them. Time is extremely weak when it comes to us. We cannot control it. We can only manage it. I think that we need to be aware of that fact. We cannot control time. It is going to happen. It is going to continue on so long as God allows it to continue on. And the best that we can do is manage it. In John chapter 9 and verse 4, even for the time that Jesus Christ was here, time had an effect on his work. Time is weak in that respect. He said, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. Well, what was he saying? He said, time, as we know it, is going to be over before you know it. There's going to come a time when you're not going to be able to make changes. There are a lot of people, I think, that are maybe counting on something like deathbed repentance. You know, if I'm sick, I'm lying there, I'm thinking and contemplating, and I'm going to say, Lord, forgive me. The only problem with that is you don't have the physical strength to do what God said to do in order to contact the blood of Christ in order to receive that forgiveness. Or perhaps, what if your life has gone that quick? No time for prayer. No time for contemplation. There'll be an eternity for contemplation. Time is wasted much too often. You know, I'm not sure where these stats originated, but as I read them off, it will give us an idea of how time is spent by the average 71-year-old over the course of his or her life. Again, don't know where these stats came from. Have no idea why the person came up with somebody 71. I guess because of the numbers, they added them all up and said, that's 71 years. But listen to them. 31%, or 23 years, would be spent sleeping. Now, I know it varies. Some people, I mean, Linda doesn't sleep as much as I do. But on average, 23 years would be spent sleeping. That's a long time. That's a lot of wasted time. But you've got to have sleep. You've got to have rest. 25%, or 19 years, would be working. Now, I don't know how in the world they came up with these stats, because I worked a whole lot more than 19 years at a regular job. And I'm still working. And I expect to be working until the time that I can no longer stand before a group of people and proclaim the word of God. But these are stats. 12%, or 9 years, watching TV or other amusement. I bet if they took these stats today, it would be a little different, don't you? 10%, 7.5 years, dressing and personal care. Okay, well, about that. 8%, or 6 years, eating. Got to be more than that. 8%, or 6 years, traveling. That leaves 6%, approximately 4.25 years for various other activities. And we could name off a long list of other activities that take up time in our life. But the point I want to make by bringing up these particular stats from wherever they came is that worship or Bible study is not even considered in this group of numbers. How sad is that? Like a 0.000 something percent? Nah, I don't think so. How much time has God given us? I'll guarantee you that every second that is granted, God gave every bit of it. How much of that time do we waste? How much of that time do we direct toward serving God and doing His will? You know, we have many excellent examples in God's Word as to how much of God's creation doesn't waste time. In Proverbs chapter 6, verses 6 through 11, we see an example from nature, how that time is not wasted. You know, I've noticed just recently, the squirrels who frequent my yard have become a bit frenzied lately. They're working. They're busy. They're preparing. This is also talking about things from nature. Go to the ant, thou sluggard. Consider her ways and be wise, which having no guide, overseer, or ruler, provideth her meat in summer and gathereth her fruit in the harvest. Then verse 9 says, how long wilt thou sleep, O sluggard, when thou arise out of thy sleep? Let me see. How many? Let's see. That's 23 years. No. What he's doing is he's drawing the comparison from those that are busy, those that are using their time, those that are spending time preparing, and those that are lying around doing nothing, just waiting, seeing how it's going to turn out. Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep, so shall thy poverty come as one that travaileth, and thy want as an armed man. In other words, you make preparations now, or there are no preparations made. Proverbs chapter 13 and verse 4. Again, we see the word sluggard. The soul of the sluggard desireth and hath nothing. Why? Because they're lazy. Because they waste time. Because they're too busy doing things other than to prepare themselves for what God has provided for the souls that are precious to Him. The soul of the diligent shall be made fat. That doesn't mean that they're going to become large and obese. That doesn't mean that at all. It means that they will be provided for. Why? Because they sought what God would have them do. They stayed about that work. They remained busy. They focused on preparing for eternity. Let's go to Matthew chapter 25, verses 24 through 28. Still in the Old Testament time, when Jesus was here on the earth, as He was talking to them, but we see the concept, the idea about wasting time. Then he which had received one talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee that thou art a hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not strawed, and I was afraid. And I went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that that is thine. What was the response? The Lord answered and said unto him, Thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knowest that I reap where I sowed not and gathered where I had not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury. In other words, build it up. The same thing is true when it comes to Christians. We are to build up the church. And we say, well, we do that. We encourage one another. No, he's also talking about growing the church. If you have a money, any sum of money, that's what a talent was in this parable, and you put it to the exchangers, I think is the way it's put, and it gains interest, it's going to grow in size. Let me tell you why many congregations are not growing today, this one included. It's because of so much wasted time, mine included. I don't want anybody to leave here and say, well, the preacher just fussed at me today. Preacher's fussing at the preacher too. We all need to work together. And then notice in verse 28 what is being said. Take therefore the talent from him and give it to him which hath 10 talents. We're going to be held responsible for how we use our time and if we waste our time. We see in 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 13 a group of people. I hope to never be described as these people were described. 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 13, the Apostle Paul, directed by the Spirit to write to this young preacher Timothy, to tell him things that he needed to hear, that he needed to teach to other people, specifically Christians. And this is about wasting time. He said, and with all they learned to be idle, wandering from house to house, and not only idle, but tattlers also and busybodies, speaking things which they ought not. And then they're the first ones to say, I don't have time to do such and such and this and that. Oftentimes time is wasted because people think that they've got it made. There are people that think that I've got it made. When the Lord comes, I'll wait for the trumpet sound. How many of those are going to be so disappointed? Eternally separated from God because they wasted their time. In Philippians chapter 3, verses 13 and 14, we see this idea being put forth that we're to constantly, continually, always strive to attain what God has provided for us. The Apostle Paul, writing to the Philippian brethren, guided by the Spirit, said, Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. Listen, if anybody on this earth, even though he wasted some time earlier, but if anybody on this earth could be put into the category of one that labored for the Lord, one that worked for the Lord, one that gave himself to the Lord, the Apostle Paul would be right up there at the top. But I count not myself to have apprehended, but this thing, one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind. You say, well, you know, I've worked for the Lord for 40 years. Well, good for you. Here's a star. It's all it's good for. Why? Because there's time ahead of you. And if you waste that time, you've negated all that stuff behind you. reaching forth into those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. We can't waste our time. God gave us this time so we could make choices, the choices of life. Stop and think about it. Why are you allowed to make those choices? Because you have time. What if time already had, for you had run out? You would have no choices. Romans 8:31. I think this is a passage that we ought to commit to memory. But we need to apply it properly. It's a very short one. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? I think if for nothing else, this would give us some strength. This would give us some courage. Sometimes, you know, we're our own worst enemies. When we waste the time that God has given us, we're actually against ourselves. Now, we're against God, too. Don't get me wrong. But when we waste the time that God has given us, we are against ourselves because we are not taking care of the things that we should take care of. We are actually hurting ourselves. In effect, we're also then against God. And if we're against God, we're in sad shape. So let's not waste our time. Oftentimes, people who waste time make excuses. Making excuses or shirking the work the Lord would have us do is a waste of time. Turn with me to Proverbs chapter 13 and verse 16. And there are many different passages we could go to point out about the wasting of time or the excuses that people use. One such place is when the Lord said, and with one accord they all began to make excuse when he had invited in the parable the landowner or whatever had invited everybody to this wonderful feast. And they began to all make excuses, and some of them were absolutely ridiculous. One of them even said, I have a wife. I can't come. I don't know why that would make an excuse. Bring your wife with you. But when we make excuses or if we shirk the work that the Lord would have us do, we're wasting time. The slothful man saith, there is a lion in the way, a lion in the streets. And I think that we need to understand, he's saying, I can't go out there and do that. There might be. I've heard people say, well, I can't go knocking on doors. Why not? Because somebody will slam the door in my face. Let me tell you something, friends. You go knocking on doors and you talk to people about the Bible, or if you stand there with your tract in your hand, and number one, if they open the door, you might just get it slammed in your face. More likely, they won't even open the door. You hear the TV on. You hear people talking. You ring the bell. You stand there and you wait. You ring the bell. Finally, you stick it in the door and leave. But there's a lion in the street, a lion in the way. Then he goes on and says, as the door turneth upon his hinges, so does the slothful man upon his bed. The slothful hideth his hand in his bosom. It grieveth him to bring it again to his mouth. The sluggard is wiser in his own conceit than seven men that can render a reason. These that make excuses, they don't get anything done. They don't accomplish anything. They certainly don't use the time that God has given them. All of this has to come to a conclusion. What is the conclusion? The best passage for that is found in Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verses 13 and 14. Everything that God has given to us, there's a reason for it, and it is to bring about a particular conclusion. He had the wise man provide for us the conclusion. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. Once had someone tell me, you know, this word duty has been added. Well, let's read it without it. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole of man. This is what man is to be doing. Anything else is a waste of time. People say, well, I've got to have a job. You know, I can't clothe myself or my family, or we can't have a house, or we can't have a car, we don't have a job. The Lord never said we shouldn't work. Matter of fact, don't blame the Lord for work, blame Adam, Eve. Because of them and the sin, they worked. is part of our lives, or labor, hard labor. But it's the whole duty of man to fear God and keep his commandments. Why? Verse 14 tells us, "For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it is good or whether it be evil." The wasted time, the time that cannot be regained, will speak against us at the judgment. Those of us who are members of the body of Christ, we're wasting time if we're not reaching the lost, if we're not reaching out toward our brethren that are in error. Then the question is, how are you using your time? That's a big question. That's a deep question. Are we using our time to gain and attain? Are we using our time to get all we can? To hoard up everything that we can? Are we using our time to fulfill our own selfish desires? People say, "Well, what are you doing with your time?" "I'm making sure that I'm happy." Well, that happiness stops when you stop breathing, if that's the kind of things that you use with your time, that you use your time for. And there's a happiness that will definitely come from serving God. You know, the Spirit has already addressed this. We find the solemn charge in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 17 through 19. Those who are trying to fulfill their own selfish desires, those who are using their time to gain, to attain, to build up, to amass. Through the pen of Paul, he says, "Charge them that are rich in this world, that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who giveth richly all things to enjoy." You know what? God gave us the time that we have to enjoy it. And you say, "Well, I want to enjoy it." We need to look at the reason that we enjoy time. If it's to fulfill our selfish desires, that's not why God gave it. God gave us that time to serve him, to love him, to learn from his word. And we know this because verse 18 says that they do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate. And in so doing, they will lay up for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. One of the largest wastes of time is to hear the gospel proclaimed, hear the gospel plan of salvation laid out in distinct detail as it is put forth in the Word of God, and then refuse to obey it. Second to that is one who knows the truth, one who's obeyed the truth, one who uses their time doing anything but being obedient. A total waste of time. How are you using your time? Those who are not members of the Lord's church have already wasted what time that has already passed. Why keep wasting time? Why not obey the gospel and begin using what little time is left in preparation for spending eternity with God? Those who have been baptized into Christ and become members of the body of Christ and then have allowed themselves to stumble and fall, they've been wasting time. Why waste that time? Come back to God. Use the rest of the time that you have left in faithful and obedient service to him. I'm going to give you the opportunity to respond to the invitation, but you need to know what that invitation consists of. One must hear the word of God, Romans 10, 17. Believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, John chapter 3, verse 16. Repent of sins, Acts 17 and 30. Confess before men that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, Matthew 10, 32 and 33. Be baptized into Christ, just like those folks on the day of Pentecost were told in Acts chapter 2 and verse 38. And then remaining faithful unto God. Oh, what a valuable use of time if we could do these things. 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 20. Those who are not members of the body of Christ can return to him in repentance and prayer. How are you going to use your time this morning from my last word to the time we dismiss? You decide right now and come as we stand and sing.